The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples in a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Before I go into the scriptures today, I just wanted to extend a very warm welcome to all of those who are currently here from our RCIA program, so the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. Today is the start of that program. So what exactly is it? The RCIA program is a program in which those who are non-Catholics wanting to be Catholic enter into a program that's basically from now up until the Easter Vigil. And in the course of those Sundays, they receive formation, they receive teachings about what the Catholic Church teaches, and it grows in the faith. And then they're baptized at Easter Vigil. So that's kind of what the RCIA program is. And so I welcome all of those of you who are currently here, present with us here at the parish at this Mass. So today we have the first reading, second reading, and the third reading speaking about one theme. And the theme is prayer. Let's go first with kind of a historical understanding of the first, because I think it's very helpful for us to understand what happened in the first reading in order to understand the gospel. So many of you may wonder, when we are reading through the Old Testament, you kind of find that there's a lot of wars, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of wrong things that go on in the Old Testament. But I promise you that there's a meaning for all of it. And we find that meaning through a more figurative, a more symbolic reading of the scriptures. So this is what I mean. In the first reading, we hear of the war of Amorites against Israel. So the Catholic Church has always understood from the very beginning of when the Bible was created in the 4th century that the Amorites, as well as the Syrians, the Greeks, the Romans, whenever these names are mentioned in the Old Testament, it is symbolic of what is not God. So what do I mean by that? Violence, racism, inequality, sin. So that whenever you hear of war, whatever is opposed to Israel is a symbol of what is against God, the evil one, the devil. And so therefore, hopefully you're catching on to this, that Israel is a representation of God, of what is holy and what is from God. And we know this because God chose the Israelites to be his chosen people. And so there's supposed to be this symbol, the symbol, which will become us, of what is God. And so we have here the two forces of good and evil fighting against each other. And then we have the figure of Moses. So Moses here is standing on top of the cliff. And so presumably there are troops down below, right? So the troops down below, those who are at the front line of the war itself, is a representation of those who are actively battling spiritual battles. Because that's the core of the message, spiritual battle. The battle against the evil one and its temptations. And so those in the front line are you and I, are those who are combating sin, combating the evil one and its temptations. Moses is a representation of what we come to understand now is the leadership of the church. First, in the New Testament, the apostles, bishops, priests, those who are in the role of leaders helping and assisting to guide the people of God. And we have this understanding because historically, a commander of an army back in the day would have always been afar up top somewhere to kind of oversee the landscape of things and where things are going and what's happening, right? That's almost what you see as a bishop, the pope, and priests, right? The ones who oversee the grand scheme of things and to recognize and identify the problems and the needs of those who are fighting the battle. So what does Moses do? Moses is in what we call in the church the Aaron's position, right? And we hear this, that the priest is in the Aaron's position when his hands are lifted in prayer. And so every single time that Moses' arms are lifted up in prayer, the Israelites win the war. But we hear that his arms get tired, and so he drops. So what happens when it drops? When it drops, the Amorites, those who are opposed against God, wins the war. Hope you're catching on, right? So what is the image there? The image there is that when we cease to pray, when we stop praying, the evil one wins. And the evil one is deceptive. It's mischievous. The evil one continues to work in today. And how does he work? Through discouragement. Through pitting us against each other. Parishioners against their priests. Parishioners against each other. Bishops and priests against each other. Bishops and priests against the Pope. These are all the devices of the devil wanting us. But St. Paul reminds us to always pray, to pray unceasingly, as he says, and to be fervent in our prayer. The spiritual battle in which we are engaged in, the spiritual battle of sin, of us falling into sin, is only conquered by prayer. Jesus asks us in the gospel, will there be faith on earth? Our belief in who God is should be responded by prayer. Because prayer is an engagement with God in hope and in belief that he has conquered sin. He has conquered death and he has conquered the spiritual battle. And he gives us the weapons to do that. And that weapon is prayer. So, what is prayer? Why prayer? How to pray? And when to pray? First, what is prayer? Prayer itself is a lifting out of ourselves to God. It is a pulling out of what we need, what we want, and lifting our minds to God, our life to God, our words to God. Why do we pray? Well, I think I addressed this already, that we need prayer to sustain us in our spiritual life. It's just, if you're working out, if you didn't have the tools, if you didn't know how to work out, and you didn't continue to work out, you're not going to work out. Same with prayer. Unless you want your spiritual life to grow, and you want to move towards holiness, and you want to move towards following God's will, you have to pray. And prayer is important for each and every one of us. We do it not by ourselves, but we do it in unity with each other. And we do this very clearly when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which you may hear of. And we do it when we celebrate the Mass. We're lifting ourselves out of ourselves, lifting out of ourselves, and giving to God, right? Moving towards God. How? How do we pray? I think that's the more permanent question. The question you're probably asking, well, how do I pray that? I want to pray, but how do I do it? I don't have the capacity. I don't know how to pray. I don't know when to pray. Now, there's two ways of prayer in the church. There's the first option. There's the first way. I wouldn't say option. The first way in which all of us are very used to, and that's the prayers in which we know by heart, right? The Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I can go on and on and on about these prayers in which we all know, and we know by heart. And certainly for those, you know, children are here who are going through First Communion, you're going to learn these prayers, right? Yes, it's important. And I'm not saying that those aren't important, right? But the reason why we are praying is that we can get closer to God, so that we can know God better and to love Him more. We go to the second way of prayer, which I found for some people is more helpful. And again, I'm not saying the other way is not good. I'm just saying that this is another way of praying, is to pray from our hearts. As I've said, the point of prayer is to move towards God. And so this other way is this honest conversation with God. Right? I use this very practical example to say, no, we all understand it. As when you're talking to a friend, or say you're talking to a spouse, right, what are you doing? You're communicating with that person. An honest and healthy relationship, and any relationship itself, needs honest communication. Meaning we're sharing our joys and our highs, but we're also sharing our sufferings and our frustrations and our angers. Because we can't help each other if we're not communicating. And yes, God knows all of our wants, our desires, what we need. He knows when we're angry, He knows when we're joyful. But He wants us to communicate with Him. And that is the most beautiful thing, is He wants to be able to bring us in with Him. Right? It's not a one-way street. God is saying, no, I want you to tell me. I'm going to give you what you need. Not key. I'll give you what you need, not what you want, but what you need. Because the goal of all of this is salvation. And so we have to be honest with our prayer with God, to really truly express ourselves. And it's totally fine too. And people have asked me, well, Father, I don't want to be upset with God. If we think we're going to offend God, then we don't have an understanding of who God is. Right? Yes, when you're angry, please vent to God. Because that's the only way that you're going to break through that wall that's artificial and go towards who God wants us to be. Right? For your kids out there, yeah, maybe you're having a bad day. You're upset with your parents. Tell God. Tell Him that you're upset. Right? He's there for you. He loves you, and He's there for you, and He wants to hear you out. Now, when? I think the second most important is when. If we want to make progress in anything that we do, whether that's exercise or cooking or perfecting X, Y, and Z, whatever else, we have to do it. It's the same with prayer. You have to do it. I can't tell you when to do it. You have to figure it out yourselves. And for some people, that's in the morning, right before you're tending to the kids, right before everything else. Maybe it requires you to wake up 5 minutes before you usually do. Pray then. Some people pray better in the evening time, right before bedtime. Right? But I also encourage, I think they're a really good point someone had brought to me, you know, Father, I have no time. I'm just really busy with you know, family and all the obligations of work, X, Y, and Z. I get that. So maybe an option is in the car. Right? All of you know how busy 217 is. You know how awful it is, especially now that we're down to two roads. I feel it all the time. Maybe that's the time to pray. Turn off the radio. Turn off whatever you're listening to at that moment and saying, God, I'm just going to give this time for you. And you have time when there's traffic. Right? And that may be a conversation with God and saying, God, this is what's happening today. This is what I'm frustrated with today. God, this is here. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this, because this has happened today, or a promotion, whatever it is, tell God. Right? But in that, also allow God to speak to us. I think this is something that we're often uncomfortable with, silence. In a friendship, when you're communicating, it should be a two-way street. If it's not, let's work on that. But that's a different conversation. But it should be a two-way street. Same with God. If we keep constantly telling God what we want, what we need, and keep spilling him these things, we won't be able to decipher what God is wanting to tell us. Yes, God speaks to us in the scriptures, but he speaks to us in the silence of our hearts. And those of you who have experienced it, you know what I mean. Because it's only when we are silent with God, it's only when we are trying to figure out what God is saying, that we come to understand his voice. It becomes for us familiar. Father, how do I know if it's the will of God? Well, if you're communicating with God every single day, you probably recognize his voice. You know if this is the evil one or if this is God speaking to you. Right? There's no concrete way of saying, well, God only says X, Y, and Z. Sorry, I wish I got that grace when I was ordained, but I don't. And I still, there are a lot of moments where I'm trying to figure that out still. Where I'm in the office, I'm saying, God, just give me what you want. Tell me what you wanted me to do. I'm the same bus with you. This is a journey. And we'll work together, but we have to do it. And that's the thing. You have to do it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hopefully an hour, right? I think there's a beauty of now of the church bringing in this holy hour, of spending an entire hour with God, whether that's at home, in the car, but even more beautiful if you can, we have a 24/7 adoration chapel right across the street in the parish hall. You know, just stop on by when you get a chance and you know, go in there and speak to God. Be present with him. You know, and I say some of the kids, you know, I know you're sometimes it's difficult, but saying, you know, I'm just going to go over there. Mom, after school, can I go over there? Can I just say hello to God? Right? Just say hello to God. These little steps are going to get us closer and closer to God. And so when God comes again and he says, is there faith on earth? I hope that he finds us praying. Because prayer is the response to us believing in him. And without prayer, the evil one will win.